This morning, our scripture reading comes from the 12th chapter of the New Testament book of Hebrews, and we'll be reading just a few short verses from that passage, verses 1 through 3. But before I read those words to you, I want to give you just a little background. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of Christians who were faced with increasing opposition, and they were in danger of abandoning their faith. And so the writer is seeking to encourage them, and in the 11th chapter, the writer begins a long list of people who were strong in their faith, especially during times of challenge. People like Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and David, and he used those as examples of people who went before them and lived out their faith in really bold ways despite all the roadblocks that they faced. The writer calls them a great cloud of witnesses. Now listen to these words from the 12th chapter of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask for you to use these words of faith to speak to us through the whispers of your Holy Spirit. We ask for your presence now. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, there's this 17th century Spanish philosopher, George Santayana, who once wrote these words: those who fail to learn from history are what? They're doomed to repeat it. Our memories have an amazing power to protect us and to preserve experiences that can guide us throughout our lifetimes if we remember. I'll never forget at the dedication of a Holocaust museum in West Bloomfield, Michigan, a good friend of mine, Rabbi Danny Nevins, said these words. He said, "We must never forget. We must never forget. We must never forget the Holocaust so that it never happens again. Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it." First words in your message note for today: remember. 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 In the Old Testament book of Exodus, Moses encounters a burning bush. It was there that God called him to do the impossible, to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And in Exodus 3:6, God says to Moses, "I'm the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now, why do you think he said that? Because people had forgotten about God. They had forgotten about the great acts of God, and they needed to be reminded. You see, in the Hebrew culture, long before they had printing presses, long before the written word was used to record history, the Hebrew people passed on the great truths through story. Oral tradition was the way to teach their children stories that would guide them for a lifetime. And so they were instructed to pass on these stories on and on and on to their children and their grandchildren. And when God said to Moses, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," Moses knew immediately who he was dealing with. He'd heard the stories over and over and over. In Deuteronomy 6, we read these instructions regarding the great commandment: never forget these commandments. Teach them to your children. Repeat them when you're at home and when you're away and when you're resting and when you're working. Tie them on your arms. Wear them on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And what did Jesus say to his disciples at the Last Supper? Do this in what? In remembrance of me. We remember the great acts of God through human history. We remember what happened in Nazi Germany. We remember Pearl Harbor. We remember what happened 15 years ago today on 9/11. We remember. Second word in your message notes, honor. Honor. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the writer reminds us of the people of faith who went before us. People who did the right thing even when doing the right thing was very difficult. The writer was kind of giving us this wall of honor of people who we can look back on who are examples and examples that inspire us when we hit hard times. You ever thought about something like that? Like if you had a personal wall of honor, who would be the names that you would put on that wall? Who are people who inspired you? Who are people whose words and actions still live deep inside of you? Who would be on your wall of honor? I think for me, there's one guy by the name of Robert H. Reardon. Dr. Reardon was the president of our college, and he often spoke at chapel, and he was just an amazing storyteller, and he told great truths through story. He's a warm and personable guy, but I'll never forget his charge to graduating seniors the year I graduated. I mean, I still think about those words. Those words still live in my head, and I still check myself against the charge that he gave to us graduating seniors. And my hope is that the way I'm living my life and the way I treat others and the way I do life, honor him. I mean, he played such an important role in my life, and I always want to honor him and his words by my action. He inspired me. You know, we as a nation, we honor, and rightly so, the men and women who defend us. We remember and honor the first responders who put their lives on the line. We honor those who lost their lives on 9/11 and their families. And then our reading today, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off all that stuff that hinders us and entangles us. Our heroes, those who have gone before us, they set an example. They're a great cloud of witnesses that inspire us to do the right thing even when doing the right thing is hard. So we remember and we honor. Third word in your message notes is persevere. Persevere. Again, from our reading for today, it says, let us run the race with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Consider him who endured the opposition from sinners and so that we don't grow weary and lose heart. Remember the perseverance of Jesus. Now, can any of you think of any great accomplishment that's come without its share of pain? If you were to achieve all the goals you set out to reach and you didn't need to persevere, my guess is that your goals were way too low. So we honor those who've gone before us when they persevere. And when they refused to give up, when the going got really tough. There's a story about Sir Winston Churchill. And the story goes that it took him 3 years to get through the eighth grade because he had trouble learning English. Seems kind of ironic that years later, Oxford University asked him to address its commencement exercises. He arrived with his usual props, cigar, a cane, a top hat, accompanied him wherever he went. As Churchill approached the podium, the crowd rose in great applause, and with unmatched dignity, settled the crowd down, and he was confident before the crowd. He removed his cigar, carefully placed his top hat on the podium, and Churchill gazed out at this waiting audience. His voice rang up in authority as he shouted, "Never give up." Several seconds passed before he rose to his toes and repeated, "Never give up." There was this deafening silence as Churchill reached for his hat and his cigar, steadied himself with his cane, and left the podium. His commencement address was finished. No one ever forgot that commencement address. Never give up. Persevere. Run the race ahead of you, knowing that there is this great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. We remember those who've gone before us. We remember those whose examples inspire us. We remember those who've sacrificed self for the good of others, and we honor them as they challenge us to persevere in our present circumstances and to never give up. Fourth and last word in the message notes, it's actually three words, pay it forward. When you remember back the people who made a difference in your life, who will you be remembered by? Who will put you on their wall of honor? Who will be inspired to press on and persevere because of your actions and your words and what you have planted in their lives? Some of you may have heard this story in the news several years ago. It's about an act of kindness at Starbucks, at a drive-thru at a Starbucks in Florida that inspired an 11-hour chain of paying it forward. A woman drove up and paid for her own iced coffee at 7 a.m. at a St. Petersburg, Florida Starbucks. And she also asked to pay for the caramel macchiato for the driver behind her, who then did the same thing for the next customer. And after a few people continued the chain, the employees started keeping a tally on a piece of paper by the window. By 1:30 in the afternoon, 260 people paid it forward, according to the Tampa Bay Times, ordering their own drink and paying for one of the strangers behind them. After people ordered their drinks and drove up to the window, the barista explained that the drink had already been paid for and asked if they'd like to return the favor. In total, 376 people agreed to keep it going. The barista thought that if the chain lasted until closing at 10 p.m., that they could put the remaining money on a gift card and continue it the next day. But the chain finally ended that evening. At 6 p.m., the 379th customer ended the chain by ordering a coffee and declining to pay for the next person. The barista said he just thinks he didn't understand the concept. You see, there's this ripple effect, and it radiates from our actions, and it makes an impact on the lives of other people. And quite often, we have little, if any, idea of just how far-reaching our words and our actions go. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, there's a story of Jesus, and he's sending out his disciples, and he gives them some pretty specific instructions. And as he's finishing up those instructions, he says to them, "You have received without paying, so give without being paid." Jesus was, in effect, telling the disciples to pay it forward. Their lives had been dramatically changed by Jesus and by his words and by what he taught and by how he lived. And now he says to the disciples, "Go, do what you've learned from me." Today, as we remember, as we honor those who've gone before us, as we've learned and as we've been inspired by their perseverance, it need not end there. you had the opportunity to pay it forward no matter who you are. Maybe it's through your career, a teacher, a coach, pastor, a dentist, whatever, a counselor. Or maybe it's by serving as a first responder. Maybe it's not your vocation, but your advocation. Maybe it's by teaching kids in Sunday school here at DeWitt or leading a small group. Or maybe it's by serving the hungry down at the Samaritan Center, or just taking time to listen. I mean, really listen to a neighbor or a friend, to be there for them. Who knows the ripple effect that you'll make? Who knows what future leader your acts may be inspiring? So today, we remember those who've gone before us, and we honor them. Those who've been given and paid a price so that we don't have to. Today, we give thanks for the perseverance of those who serve. And today, we think about the ways we can pay it forward. We can pay forward the sacrifices that others have made on our behalf. Let's pray. Lord God, we remember and we honor those who've gone before us. We give thanks for the great cloud of witnesses that inspire us and cheer us on. Help us to honor them and to honor you as we pass on your truth by our actions and by the way we live. May we always live in a way that honors you and the sacrifice you made on our behalf. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.